Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman, and also Chris Woodward now is in studio with us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Glad to be back.
And Ray Pritchard is with us.
Still here.
You done with your travels?
For about two more weeks, and then it starts again. Down to Florida, up to New York, and then later this fall to the Philippines and South Korea. That's kind of, you know, when I messed up my ankle, my bicycle accident, it was a couple of trips from early in the year. They've gotten rescheduled, and I'm trying to behave myself and stay out of trouble.
Now, Philippines, what are you going, right. What do you do there?
I'll be at the Bible Institute, Word of Life Bible Institute there, teaching the book of Daniel. And then since I'm in the neighborhood, going to fly from Manila up to Seoul, South Korea, then to Word of Life Bible Institute there and teach the book of Joshua. That's going to be like the last week of October, first week of November.
Now, the Philippines, what is their dominant religion there?
It's heavily Catholic.
Okay.
Heavily Catholic, and with a large evangelical population there as well.
But no, Muslims aren't there much?
Yes, they are. And some Muslim-related terrorists are in certain parts of the country, that's for sure.
It's Indonesia that's mostly...
Right, that's the largest Muslim country in the world by population.
And then South Korea is mostly Christian, right?
Very heavily Christian now. It's been one of the miracles of the last 100 years, how God has worked in South Korea.
Mm. At one time, the largest church in the world was there.
Yonggi Cho, right. Yeah. I think they at one time had about 400,000 on Sunday, which is not bad.
Prayer Mountain.
Right. This, amazing, actually.
Ray, this may be a little unfair to throw on you, but we're known to... to not give each other warnings. With South Korea, I was talking to my a buddy of mine the other day who's in agriculture, and he said that South Korea is nearly a 100% importer of their produce, of their ag,
right.
Of their food, basically.
Right.
What is South Korea known for when it comes to their economy? I mean, are they like a
technology?
Technology,
you know.
Samsung's
computers.
There, right?
Yes, technology. Very highly advanced. Of course, that's one of, we've all seen those satellite pictures of the Korean Peninsula at night, and the lights are bright, and then you get to the 38th parallel, you get to North Korea, and it just goes completely dark. And that is the reality between the South and the North. South is one of the most developed countries in the world, and the North is basically a prison.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Hey, by the way, I know this is not really important at all, but Joe Biden, has he had cosmetic work done? On his face?
You mean like Botox and stuff?
Yes.
I've read where he has.
Huh? Little plastic
He doesn't
surgery.
Look the same as he did a few years, 4 or 5 years ago.
I read an article where they were talking about how one politician, a female, had surgery, plastic surgery done, and there was articles written about it, and she was basically kind of mocked. But Biden basically got away with the surgery.
It's kind of the unfairness between if a woman talks about it, she's criticized. If a man does it, people just kind of, you know, roll their eyes or shrug their shoulders. So, Chris Woodward, are you here?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think about Joe? Do you think he looks a little younger or what?
He looks a little plastic, for sure.
Did you see Barry? I saw a picture of Barry Manilow.
Okay.
Do you remember the singer from the 70s?
Yeah, sure.
I saw a picture of him the other day, and he had cosmetic surgery done, and he could hardly move his face.
You need to get your money back.
That would be a problem when you're a singer.
Dude, what'd you say, Ray?
You need to get your money back.
I'm telling you, it was scary looking.
Visible,
he looked like something out of a wax museum or something like that. It was really strange. I guess I don't know why maybe these people won't. You know, want to feel like they can go back to their youth again. I don't know why you do this. My wife says, you know, why don't people just age naturally and gracefully? And Quit trying to shoot things up in them.
Well, you put two words that don't always go together. You said naturally and gracefully.
I know.
I've seen a lot of people who are natural old agers, not all of them completely graceful.
You know, it could be a way for, I mean, the average age of Biden's opponent for the Democratic Party's nomination right now is about 50.
Right.
So it could be a way for him to look, you know, young and relevant and hip. What I've noticed that he's wearing these, like, shiny little Top Gun-esque aviator glasses when he goes out on the campaign trail with his little leather jacket and things like that. You know, yeah, it strikes me as, you know, I'm trying to look cool.
His problem is not his appearance. It's when he opens his mouth, right? Because literally anything could come out.
Yeah, true.
Well, so, all right. I'm looking at Yahoo News. Now I know they're left wing, but this is the only one that I could find that is a recognizable news outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're citing the Washington Post back from 2008 after the election, saying that no one knows for sure if Biden had plastic surgery, but from all indications, he had something done to his face, to his hairline, and things like that.
So, well, I'm looking at pictures, and I will go on record saying he has had plastic surgery, Botox or whatever. He's done the Kenny Rogers thing.
Well, I was gonna say Kenny a minute ago, and I didn't, so I'm glad you did. I can confirm that I have not had any work done.
You did the Kenny Rogers thing. I don't know, these people are rolling the dice with this.
Yeah. It doesn't always work.
You know, the person that hasn't mentioned anything during this discussion is Brent. Have you?
Isn't that
because you've had work done, Brent?
Brent has not had Botox. Brent Crizzi. Joe Biden has, though. You can tell.
But Brent's about to tell us who in here has had Botox.
And after. But, pardon me, none of us have, I think.
I know, I'm joking.
Right.
You're listening to today's issues on AFR. Okay, Chris, get us started with the real news.
All right. There is an effort underway by Penny Nance and the ladies at Concerned Women for America. Penny, a few days ago, wrote an article that was published in The Federalist, and it was about what Penny called leftist propaganda that she witnessed at her son's freshman orientation at Virginia Tech. We're going to start out with clip 11 here. This is Penny talking on the Todd Starnes Show about things that she witnessed at her son's freshman orientation at VTech.
How did they start out orientation? We took a moment to recognize the two Indian tribes on whose land basically we sat. And that's how we started. And then after that, every person that got up that introduced ourselves, there may have between 10, 20 people, students, deans, whoever it was, gave us their name, but also their preferred pronoun. And let me just say, there were no plot twists. Everyone was exactly as you would expect. There needed to be no clarification. It was heavy-handed. And I wasn't the only parent whose eyes were bugging. People were nudging each other and looking at each other. And that's when I noticed the name badges. The name badges that had every student's preferred pronoun on their badges that they wore or had to wear around their necks. Which, you know, again, that's fine. My kid had he and him, whatever. But what about the kid that's struggling, that doesn't quite know where they are yet, is thinking through some of these issues? Suddenly the university wants to know right now. And then you have to wear it around your neck so you're labeled.
Now, you know, people might be listening and think, well, this is Virginia Tech. It's far away from where I live, or maybe my kids go to school, things like that. But we have seen examples and instances very similar to this at other colleges and universities. For example, at Northern Kentucky University now, it's considered a microaggression if you use the improper pronouns to address somebody, or if you refuse to use whatever it is they prefer to be called.
College. And university campuses all over this country are lost.
Yeah.
To the far left PC wokeness.
Hmm.
They are. All of, I don't. Huh?
Yeah. Except for Liberty University.
Yeah.
But where Penny went to college.
Well, I'm exaggerating slightly. There are a handful you can find. But I'm telling you, Ray, these far left progressive socialist PC people, they only hire their own, right. And so they've taken over all colleges and universities at almost every level.
So they're telling us now on the Virginia Tech campus, if you're a student, you can get in trouble if you see somebody and it's obviously a woman, you think, and you use the feminine pronouns, obviously a man, he, him, and you somehow get it wrong or you don't use the pronouns they prefer, Chris, then you could get in trouble?
Yeah, I'm not sure if Virginia Tech does that. Northern Kentucky University does that. That information was revealed by Young America's Foundation. They looked at like public records and things like that and found the information in that university's booklet. But I would imagine there's probably some sort of talking to that you would get at Virginia Tech.
And, how are you even supposed to know? Are you gonna wear around your neck every day, here are my preferred pronouns?
Yeah, well, I can tell you, having watched far more interviews than I wanted to, I've noticed one of the things that people do when they sit down with people, that they'll ask them, what are your preferred pronouns? For example, there's a guy that was a skater in one of the more recent Winter Olympics. He's a homosexual, and he ended up being hired, I believe it was by ABC or NBC, and they had him interview somebody that was on a show in which that person played somebody that was androgynous. And in that interview, which aired on ABC, I believe it was, he started off by asking, what are your preferred pronouns? So that way he knew how to properly address the individual.
Okay. That's just whacked out.
I mean, can you imagine a new employee? What are your preferred pronouns?
But well, you have to pretend like that this is some kind of serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But,
huh? Yeah, the moment you stray away from the nature, then you enter fantasy land where anything goes, whatever you say. You know, why can't male and female be it?
Yeah.
You know.
This might actually be the argument for people that have long argued for the end of the Department of Education, because what's the point of teaching somebody grammar if you're going to allow a person refer to him or herself as them?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or theirs, which some people do.
And defy biology.
Yeah. Now, there is a soundbite here. I want to include this since we started off talking about Penny. Penny Nance and Concerned Women for America, they have a way for parents to share stories about things they're witnessing. Clip 12.
Come to University Whistleblower at CWFA.org. It's our email, basically. Email your story to us. We won't share your name, but we'll share your story. Also, contact your state legislature. I mean, this is where the action is on education for the most part. Of course, we have a Department of Education, and we're dealing with that as well. And then finally, contact the head of your institution, the president's office, the regent, the headmaster's office, the principal, the school board. We've got to stick together and stand up together. We're all taxpayers, even if you don't have a kid that's in that school system right now. You're still paying taxes.
Let me ask you this. Good point there by Penny Ness. Let me ask you this, Ray. This goes, I don't know when this started, by this I mean what used to be called liberals, which I wish we had liberals today.
Right, right.
The good old liberals, I miss them.
Right.
Now we got these socialist progressives that have...
They've just gone off the cliff.
Militant in many ways.
Right.
But let me ask you this, Ray. Why do you think they have now just taken over that philosophy almost every college campus in America at every level when college campuses are supposed to... And they used to pride themselves on being places of diversity of thought.
You know, you got to give the liberals of another day kind of backhanded credit, Tim, because they understood whoever controls the media and the educational institutions ultimately controls the culture, right? Because that's where the culture comes from. So while we were doing our thing in our group, they were putting people into the networks, into Hollywood, into positions of authority in every university across America. Until now, they basically control that. They are the dominant power in our culture today. So I don't want to say give them credit because it's a terrible thing that's resulted, but they understood that if you control the media and the educational system, you will control the culture, and that's where we are today.
And what they've done is you get so many of these people who have groupthink, in this case, secular progressive ideology, and they have groupthink and they're leading the righteous cause against the far right Nazis, and that's who we are to them.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And so they only hire people who agree with them.
Yes.
And they screen everybody else out.
Yes.
Right? So then you find your whole faculty stacked with people who only see the view world in one way. But again, that is contrary to what classic liberalism would have taught.
Yeah, at some point they shifted and figured out that it was more important.
They're the moral majority.
That their ideology reigns supreme no matter what the cost. And then that's when they shifted from your classical liberal, First Amendment liberal.
Right. You're Alan Dershowitz type.
To now your modern liberal, which is, I don't care about the Constitution and whose rights are going to be infringed upon so long as my political ideology wins out.
I'll tell you another thing that's dangerous about this. Again, you could get along with the old classic liberals, you know, the old traditional liberals. They were fun to debate with, you know. And quite frankly, they had a lot of ideas worth considering. But these people today, Ray, these modern progressives, again, they're not for the free exchange of ideas. They view us, those of us who have traditional conservative values, they view us as the enemy.
Right.
And that we don't need to be... Our ideas are not even worth being heard.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're not looking for dialogue, Tim. They not only want to silence us, they want to wipe out our viewpoint completely. Their impulses are totalitarian down at the bottom. So it's not a matter of do we really have something to discuss with the progressives? God, they're not interested in talking to us.
Right. No, they will put us in jail if they can.
Right.
Yeah.
And people may say, well, that's nutty, that's crazy, that's extreme, that's an extreme view. No, if they could, they would, and they are putting us in jail little by little every day, not in a real physical jail with bars, but they're putting us in jail with, okay, Google's not going to carry your message.
Right.
Facebook's going to shut you down.
Right.
We're going to call you we're going to label you a hate group. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Little by so they use that social pressure to quote put you in jail.
Yeah, and then claim love trumps hate, and we've got to be stronger together.
Yeah, and the civil aspect has been, you know, we're talking about being censored with your First Amendment, but from a civil aspect, there's been lawsuit after lawsuit of Christians who, whether they own a small business, whether they work in government, they're being sued. For money, because they won't capitulate to the left-wing ideology.
Yeah.
We've seen that happen, you know, case after case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's been a law in Arizona, Alliance Defending Freedom is representing these two artists. They're in a situation similar to that of Jack Phillips, where it's one of those, thou must do it for everybody if you're going to do it. These are ladies that like hand letter and do calligraphy and things like that for wedding invitations. Phoenix passed an ordinance that said you must do this for everybody if you're going to do it, regardless of your beliefs. And in Phoenix's case, violators could actually be jailed. Jack and the Baronelle Stutzmans of the world, the people in Oregon, they would lose their money and, you know, things like that. In Phoenix's case, you could actually go to jail for not complying with this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And that's why they hate President Trump so much. Because they were headed into, by they, I mean the progressives, they were headed into a 12 to 16 year rule. And they were going to turn it up. They were going to turn up the heat a lot with Hillary Clinton, far worse than what it was under President Obama, in terms of their vindictiveness and their punishment and their going after conservatives and Christians in punitive ways, in ending their employment way, in jailing them, if you could. For instance, they would have, had Hillary Clinton won, I'm convinced that they would have gone after groups like ours and said, you know what, you can't be on the radio anymore because we're shutting you down because you're a hate group.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things would have amped up to very swiftly, mm-hmm. and had Hillary Clinton won. And when Donald Trump won, and the globalist issues here too as well. When Donald Trump won, George Soros and that side of the battle, then it upset the apple cart, mm-hmm. and it ticked them off royally. And so that's why, even though he's not saint, right? Mm-hmm. He's not saint.
Right.
So he's not Saint Donald, and right. President Trump maybe doesn't often exhibit the fruits of the spirit, but he represents to them somebody who stopped them from their secular progressive juggernaut, which was about to run run across the country. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story.
All right, there is a new report out from Energy Star, which is a government program that's connected to both the Department of Energy and the Environmental Protection Agency. And this is one of those things you hear and see about every once in a while where some government entity recommends the temperature that you should leave your home and business at and things like that in the name of saving energy and helping the earth and stuff like that. I'm curious, Tim, what do you like to keep your thermostat on when you're home? Do you have a preferred temperature?
Kind of personal, Chris.
If you don't mind sharing, if you don't mind my asking.
What are you asking me, like now in the mm-hmm. summertime?
Right, yeah.
68.
Okay, 68. Walker, what do you like the temperature to be at when you're sleeping?
72.
Okay. And then
I would sweat.
Ray, do you turn up the AC a little bit for, when you're not going to be at home so that way it's not so cold?
Yes,
now?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, the reason I'm asking all these questions, This is kind of a report that's gone viral. A lot of people are weighing in ways that I can't share on American Family Radio. But this new report recommends temperatures for energy efficiency. This is a government body. 78 degrees Fahrenheit when you're home. 85 degrees Fahrenheit when you're at work or away.
Ain't gonna do it.
And then this one, 82 degrees Fahrenheit when you're sleeping, to which someone responded, you're basically becoming beef jerky at that temperature.
No way.
No way.
Like I said, a lot of these are things that I can't say and wouldn't anyway.
What's the point of even having air conditioning?
Really?
If you're not going to use it at all.
Right.
Right? Huh? 82 degrees.
That's the thing about America, is we can cut our air on whatever we want. Now, you might pay more in energy costs, but we can cut our air to whatever.
I bet Prince Harry isn't going 82.
If I put the temperature in my house
in the castle over there in Great Britain,
what'd they say at night?
Yeah, when you're sleeping, 82 degrees.
That's wrong.
You ain't sleeping.
Somebody needs to be arrested.
If I did that, I'd be sleeping at Brent's house because I'd be kicked out of mine.
We can't.
Ceiling fan helps.
See, I have infants. Our newborns,
right.
And they get cold at night, we don't cut ours below 72 because they'll get they'll wake up because they're getting cold.
It's all what you get used to, I think.
But 82 is just un-American.
It's interesting.
I'm sorry,
that's true, Ray. I'm with you, brother.
You get
that's
so wrong. Used to the temperature. If it's 1 or 2 degrees hotter than what you set it at, you can tell right when you walk
you're
in.
Miserable.
Oh yeah, it's stale.
We're spoiled.
Yeah. All right.
We're spoiled. As some people
yes, we
say.
Are.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Brent for producing the show today, and for Walker and Ray, their contributions, as we are thankful for Fred's contributions. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you joining us, folks. Keep listening to American Family Radio. We'll see you back here tomorrow.